How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This is the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Welcome in to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Here with the reigning Jays, I am Sam Jam Packard, flying solo tonight for an extended edition of Jam's Junk Bag, Jam's Junk Drawer, I believe the name is. Celtics lose tonight 103-100 against the Milwaukee Bucks, their first loss on the homestand. They're now 4-1. Tough game for the Celtics. It was close in the end, but in the fourth quarter, turns out rookie Malcolm Brogdon was just too much for the Celtics, who played a decent basketball game. And just for this tonight's podcast, I'm going to give kind of my thoughts about what happened, my reaction, and then we're going to turn to the fans, to you guys, and I'll react to the hashtag Reigning Jays tweets you've sent throughout the game. So I really appreciate you guys filling that out or sending me those tweets tonight. I think the story of this game was really comes down to the bench. They played terribly tonight. We see Kelly Olynyk -16, Jaylen Brown -21. While the rest of the starters, Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, all kind of all positive for the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas had a good game, 32 points, very efficient shooting night, 9 for 17 from the field, 5 of 9 from three. We saw Jay Crowder given 13 points. But it was really the bench, especially at the start of the second and the fourth quarter, that just really went down. And the Celtics had a tough time scoring with Isaiah on the bench. In that second quarter, we saw them go down 14 points and really had anemic offense there. They did a good job to kind of fight their way back into the game. Their starters really did a great job of kind of willing the team back. And they got it pretty much even at the end of the third quarter. And then we saw that another terrible lull in the game where the fourth quarter, started the fourth quarter, they really couldn't do anything. And they basically just started out launching threes. And right like that, the Bucks built up another 8-point lead. And then at the end of the game, the Celtics were right there. They were right in it. But it turned out just Malcolm Brogdon making play after play really kind of sealed the deal for the Celtics. Yeah, this game was tied up with 93-93 with 2:46 left to play. And then Brogdon goes and hits two consecutive layups. One was a really nice play kind of to get to the against Avery Bradley. He just kind of has elevated a little bit higher and turned the corner and got a nice bucket. The next was a floater in the lane. And next time down the court, Brogdon happens to step on Al Horford's feet. He finds Greg Monroe at the wide open at the rim. It just was a lot of great plays for Malcolm Brogdon, and the Celtics were not really able to execute entirely down the stretch. I mean, Isaiah Thomas did a very good job of getting to the rim. It seems like they were kind of letting him get the easy layups to try and avoid the three because the Celtics found themselves down three. And then on that final possession, the ball gets tipped and it ends up in Marcus Smart's hands. He, in classic Marcus Smart fashion, ends up trying to draw some contact rather than just going straight up. He also looked like he had Avery Bradley in the corner, but ultimately ends up in a loss. just going to go through some of my other observations from the game. We saw Brad Stevens go small to start the game after the Celtics didn't really start off that well, and it immediately paid off. Celtics went on a 9-0 run, and it felt like their defense was really doing a good job of flying around and kind of dealing with the length of the Bucks team. The Bucks are incredibly long, and it's kind of something you don't really notice until they're all standing out on the court, and then there's Brogdon, who's 6'5", Tony Snell, and the Greek Freak out there. But I thought the Celtics, with that adjustment, did a good job to get back in the game. And we even saw, at the end of the first quarter, an excellent Marcus Smart, high-quality heave. It didn't not sure if it went up going in at this point. I don't have it on my notes. I just have high-quality heave. But we also saw him do that at the second quarter, so it's always good to see that. That's when the kind of the badness took over, and we even saw James Young get into the game, which is not an ideal situation for the Celtics. He only ended up playing five total minutes, but he was a minus 12 in those minutes, and it just wasn't good. He was basically terrible, and I don't blame it entirely on him. The entire Celtics lineup was bad during that stretch, but it just really felt like they couldn't do anything on offense. But they were actually, once the starters returned, they were able to claw their way back into the game, and then the same pattern returned. I think the biggest problem is that I don't want to put the loss squarely on one person. I mean, I was putting on the entire bench unit, but Al Horford really needs to take over the games offensively there when Isaiah's off the court, because he kind of seems like he takes over the quarterback role. And I just don't think he was very good tonight. He was only 4 of 9 from the field. He ended up with 11 points. He was a minus 8 overall, but it just wasn't the best game from Al Horford, who kind of needs to take over in those moments if the Celtics are going to be a good team moving into the playoffs. I don't think this is the biggest deal because the Bucks are ultimately a good team, and they've been playing a lot better since the return of Chris Middleton. But it's ideally, it's, you don't really want to be experimenting with your bench this late in the season, to echo something Isaiah said earlier. And tonight it didn't really feel like Brad ever like settled on a lineup that he thought would work, other than the bench lineup or the IT and D lineup, or other than the starters in IT and D. We saw Jerebko come in for 4 minutes. He really didn't do anything. We saw 8 minutes of Tyler Zeller, which of course led to Tommy talking about his soft, beautiful hands. But he didn't. He was actually probably the best coming off the bench in terms of his impact. He scored 7 points and ran the floor and did some nice things. But there's only so much you can do with Tyler Zeller. Rozier came in for like an ugly 9 minutes and took too many threes. I already mentioned James Young, and then Kelly Olynyk, 7 minutes and was also a minus 16. It's just not. It's frustrating to have the bench be this inconsistent this late into the season. You think Brad would have settled on a rotation, but I don't think it's necessarily that easy, because I think it's entirely matchup based. So we saw here a situation where he was trying to go small, and we know, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know the Celtics have wing depth issues, and it's just not going to be that easy if they're choosing to go small to have that many players. And I feel like that's why we saw kind of so many different bench options, and especially that's why we saw James Young is just looking for more bodies out there, because tonight Jay Crowder was playing a lot of minutes at the four, so you're just going to need more and more wing depth to go in there, and that's really not the Celtics' strength. So maybe the Bucks aren't necessarily the best matchup for the Celtics. With that being said, I thought they did a pretty good job of holding Giannis in check. I mean, he was 8 for 17 tonight, only ended up with 22 points, and he was generally a minus 7. Now there's the one player I kind of wanted to focus on as kind of the player of the game tonight, even though in a losing effort, it's going to be Marcus Smart. He was all over the offensive boards. This was kind of the classic Marcus Smart performance. He was 4 from 15 from the field, but ended up with 11 rebounds, including 5 offensive rebounds, 11 points, and 5 assists. He was doing a lot of crazy winning plays tonight, and I think the play that kind of best exemplifies Marcus Smart as he comes down with an offensive rebound, misses the putback, gets his own rebound, and then tips it kind of it midair to a cutting Jay Crowder, and it was just a huge awareness play from Marcus Smart, and that's what we've kind of grown accustomed to here as Celtics fans. But I thought it was just the quintessential Marcus Smart night, because he was also doing that, and then he also got in some brouhaha, some tomfoolery, once with a collision with Chris Middleton, and then next with a collision with Giannis, where he ended up grabbing his foot. He's the Celtics' fourth best player at this point, and it's really good that they've kind of figured out how to play him or how to get him on the court in crunch time. We talked earlier in the season about how the IT and D lineup, or the heavy D and the boy lineup, or whatever you want to call it, Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, and Al Horford, we talked about how they struggled to start the season, but really since the All-Star break, we've seen that lineup play great basketball, and that's going to be key heading into the playoffs, because really those are your five best players. So I thought it's a good sign that those guys are playing well, and it's a good sign that you're going to be able to have Marcus Smart on the court to end games, because as we saw tonight, he just makes plays that impact winning, I guess is the cliche. Okay, I guess that's been enough of my incoherent ramblings, but we'll turn it over to you guys, the listeners, using the hashtag Raining Jays. Definitely going to have to start off with at Jovian Shadow, who I believe is coming all the way from Australia and was in the crowd at the game tonight. So I just wanted to say, Simon, hopefully you got to run into the great Jay King and you said hello. Thanks for listening. Always love our Australian fans. Let's see, Rife C., after a rough start, Crowder is doing a nice job on Giannis. Yeah, I think that's right. I think, as I said earlier, the Giannis didn't really impress me too much that night. He wasn't at his Greek freakiest. I've seen him kind of dominate games more, and it felt like he was forcing more shots from the outside. And a lot of that was because of the defense of Jay Crowder. He really wasn't allowing Giannis into space to kind of use his length, so I thought he did a pretty good job. Another one from Rife C. How is that foul on either guy? Kalai going for a loose ball, then review for 5 minutes. Brutal. This is a play when I believe it was Middleton and Smart got were going for a loose ball. They both kind of hit each other in the face with their elbows. And initially the foul got called on Marcus Smart. He gets a technical called on him for arguing it. And then they review it for, 17 minutes. And eventually they actually overturn the call and call it on Middleton, which is kind of crazy because that's the entire reason Marcus Smart was arguing. This review has to stop. I know I talked about this with John last week, but it's just been really frustrating to have these reviews going on forever. And someone in Secaucus just needs to be yelling at those people, just stop. Just there's nothing to review here. Get back to basketball, because it's really annoying. And I don't know if it's just because Mike Gorman hates it so much that we kind of focus on it more, but it's been super frustrating. Next is Ati Shep. Between two Jay Larinaga blinks, Amir Johnson could release two threes at least. I would have to agree. I did not see the Jay Larinaga halftime interview, but I love the fact that people are terrified by him. And I would have to agree. He's never blinking. I think it's a conscious effort by him now. I think he's woke enough to know his reputation. So every time he does those, he's just staring directly into the camera. We also saw Amir Johnson get a double block tonight. He blocked it once and then blocked it again off the backboard. That was pretty cool. Thanks for BMain207 for tweeting at us, Raining Jays. From Matt Shannon, thanks for the shout-out. We did get a Tyler Zeller soft hands reference. It's like clockwork. I'm thinking that we're going to have to come up with a Celtics bingo game, because Tyler Zeller's soft hands will definitely have to be on there. I'm thinking another Amir Johnson three. There's many different things. So if you have any ideas for a good Boston Celtics bingo game that you can drink while watching the game, definitely tweet us at it using the hashtag Raining Jays. We have this one from Bay Crowder, one of my favorite handles, at Celtics and Chill. Marcus Smart is the C's best four, which is both impressive and a sad commentary on our bigs. I would have to agree. I saw a tweet, I think it was this today, that said Marcus Smart is basically Draymond Green in a shooting guard's body. And I thought that hit it right on the head. He shows he's physical enough to guard someone like Giannis tonight. He can guard Porzingis in the post. He can get on the offensive boards. He's really plays of the man basically twice his size, just like how physically he plays. And that basically what allows the Celtics to go small and play that IT and D lineup is you have two basically strong forwards in Crowder and Smart. So I'd have to agree that compared to what kind of Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Derebko are giving you right now, I'd much rather have Marcus Smart out there playing that kind of small ball four. Max Stewart at Staxwell 6. Given how important a healthy Jay Crowder could be in the playoffs, would you consider him resting him down the stretch? I was kind of on the rest some guys train. I know I saw Jay when I was in the game at Brooklyn. He kind of got fouled once, and I saw him kind of jog gingerly back up the court. And then in that moment, I was like, maybe they should rest Jay moving forward. But Jay King said this on an earlier podcast, given the Celtics' schedule and the amount of rest days they have to end the season, I don't know if it's necessary to be really resting any guys. I think they have enough days off. I think if there was back-to-backs and stuff like that, I can understand giving some guys some rest. But I saw actually a video today on Twitter of Jay Crowder doing a late-night workout at the Celtics facility the other night. He was wearing a long-sleeves Jay's a Saves t-shirt, which is pretty dope. I love that he practices in his own t-shirts, but they're going to be getting the work in. Might as well be kind of working on defensive communication, playing at game speed. I don't really see the need to rest guys moving forward. Mauricio Green, at Mauricio Green, video reviewer for players, actions suck. The type of call needs to be and should be take by replay center. I don't know if I messed that up or just that was my reading or his, but no, I agree, Mauricio. I mentioned that earlier that something needs to be done about replay. Adam Silver, listen up. Max Stewart again. Which is more likely, James Young making the nine-man roster or Jay Larinaga blinking during an interview? I'm going to go with Jay Larinaga. Wow, I cannot say his last name. I'm just going to call him Coach Jay, blinking during an interview because I don't know what the nine-man roster is. I think you mean the nine-man playoff rotation, and that's never going to happen because James Young should never play in the playoffs. I kind of hope that this is his last season. No, not kind of. I hope this is his last season with the Celtics because he's not productive whatsoever. Robert Denton. I'm not even hashtag raining Jays my thoughts tonight. Fuck this. I think you just did, Robert Denton. It's touche. Then we have Celtics Post missing Kelly Olynyk. Yeah, it was not a great game for Kelly Olynyk tonight. As I said earlier, only 7 minutes. He was a minus 16 and only attempted one shot. I don't know if it's just the kind of length that the Bucks present that makes him a bad matchup for the Bucks. Maybe his inability to guard Giannis, because if they're playing Giannis at the power forward, I don't think Kelly Olynyk can guard Greg Monroe in the post. Oh, this is a kind of a side tangent. I feel like Greg Monroe always has great games against the Celtics over the past 3 years. It feels like he's done just been able to kind of really capitalize on the Celtics' lack of size. And tonight he had another solid performance off the bench. How much? He scored 16 points with 6-9 from the field and was, I thought he just played pretty solid basketball late. But if they're playing Monroe and then Giannis at the four, Olynyk really can't guard either of those two people. So it basically makes him unplayable. And you're right, tonight he did not do much. Thanks to all the regulars for the multiple reigning Jays tweets. No, Ati Shepard, I don't think it. People should be hitting the panic button. And then the last one, Enrique Banasek at M. Banasek. Please explain what happened to physics when Zeller attempted the bizarro layup airball. I don't know. I thought the man had soft hands and soft touch, but we saw him tonight just kind of fire one off the top of the backboard. It was one of the uglier moments for Tyler Zeller. That's going to wrap it up for the mailbag questions. Thank you guys for staying with me during the extended edition of Jam's Junk Drawer. Once again, almost jumped into conclusions, Matt, here. I had some post-game notes. What does this mean for the NBA standings? I believe this means the Cavs have moved back into first place. Yes, the Cavs and Celtics are now tied. Again, the Cavs have a game in hand in the loss column, so this means the Celtics are technically tied for first, but in my mind, they are in second place in the Eastern Conference. The Cavs play the Bulls tomorrow night, which you think would be an easy game. But the Bulls are playing on TNT, and if you've been following this season, the Bulls are something like won their last 21 games while on TNT Thursday nights. So there's definitely some weird juju going on, so watch out for that. But I still, even given that crazy stat, I would be shocked if the Bulls won. And then my final note is that Gershon Yabusele is now officially a Maine Red Claw. So if you have a chance, if you're in the Portland area, go on down to the Expo Center and get yourself some, watch that bear dance. It's going to be fun. Just we haven't really seen him play live basketball yet, so get a taste of what's going on next season, because I have a feeling that he's going to be a lot of fun in this league, and it's going to be fun to see what he does against actual players instead of people playing against the Shanghai Sharks. All right, that's actually going to wrap it up for me here. Sam Jam Packer here with the Reigning Jays. This has been another episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics. Millie's.